Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And if any of you out there are like us here in the Pacific Northwest, just inundated with snow, well, I can empathize with you, but it's absolutely beautiful. Fortunately, here in the Pacific Northwest, it doesn't last very long. We're probably going to have it all gone within about 48 hours. But regardless, meanwhile, we're thoroughly enjoying the beauty of it all. And for those of you in New York and other places that are beginning to see snowfall, take it easy, be wise, enjoy, but be glad you're nice and cozy and you can share this next hour with me. We are going to be talking with a woman who has spent so many years of her life investigating wellness, and she has put together a book. Her name is Susan Weed. She has put together a book that's titled Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. Now, she also put in information in her book about guys, but I want to welcome to the airwaves Susan Weed. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Green blessings. I'm so happy to be with you.
Now, you have, before we went on air, because I told you I was so impressed with your book, the amount of material, the detail, the information that you have in here, you told me that you have been involved with research for a good 25 years, and it took you 4 years of 40 to 60 hours a week, 4 years of that kind of intensive research, putting things together in a cohesive way. My goodness, Susan, why?
Because I get angry when women and men are overtreated.
Okay.
And, you know, we do things because we think they're the wise thing to do. We say, hey, I should go and have a pap smear. It's an innocent and really, in fact, good idea. Or a man might say, I should have my PSA tested.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody the other night compared it to getting on one of those moving walkways at the airport, and once you're on there, you can't get off.
Interesting comparison.
So let's, you know, follow an imaginary woman who says, hey, you know, I'll get a pap smear. And maybe she finds a local clinic that will give her a pap smear for free. There are various groups all over the United States that do offer free cancer screening at local clinics, so it shouldn't be a matter of expense. And while she's getting that pap smear, which is very non-invasive, it's kind of like using your fingernail to scratch the inside of your cheek, some material is going to be not just looked at in a microscope, but sent away for a DNA analysis to see if the human papillomavirus is present.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been collecting information on the human papillomavirus for 25 years. Fascinating virus. It's the one your mother warned you against. It really can live on a toilet seat for up to 3 days or on a towel.
That's
so
me.
Young children, devoted Catholic nuns, men-hating lesbians, they can all get human papillomavirus. And human papillomavirus does not just cause cancer in the cervix. It also causes cancer in the throat and in the anus. As a matter of fact, the rates of anal cancer among receiving homosexual men are basically the same as the rates of cervical cancer in Africa.
Oh, for heaven's sake. That is unbelievable.
And
it's believable. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
that's just amazing.
And because of the kind of this sex education that has been offered over the past decade or so, in our schools, many of our teenagers have come to believe that oral sex is part of celibacy, and the rates of throat cancer are rising alarmingly in 20 years old.
And that's because of this virus.
That's because of the human papillomavirus. So we're following this imaginary woman who goes for her pap smear, and then she gets a call and it says, you know, your pap smear, well, it doesn't really look good, and you have an infection with human papillomavirus, so we want you to come back into the office. And I'm going to kind of shorten things here. Generally, she's going to be told that she needs to have some invasive procedure done, whether that is to have a biopsy, which is actually taking a punch of material from the cervix, or whether it's cutting her cervix or burning her cervix with lasers or freezing her cervix or putting caustic chemicals on her cervix. And although it's never said, she's led to believe that this will somehow get rid of the human papillomavirus, and none of these things do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of my students took my book to her gynecologist and said, look at this wonderful book, and the woman opened it up to the part about HPV, human papillomavirus, and she said, look at this. This woman says, do nothing. This is craziness, and slammed the book shut. Well, each topic that is addressed in the book is addressed through the paradigm of the six steps of healing. Do nothing, collect information, engage the energy, nourish and tonify, stimulate and sedate, use drugs, and break and enter. And if she had read further, she would find that 80% of all people found to have a human papillomavirus infection will clear that infection themselves with no help and no treatment within a year. And within 2 years, 90% of all people will have cleared that infection.
All right. Now, there are viruses can be dormant in the body, especially with a female. I can remember learning about this when I was 19 years old and just absolutely astonished. And research at the time was really surprised at how within the fat cells of the female, for some reason, there is the capacity for storage, and often there will be within the tissues of the female viruses that are dormant, and then there will be a chemical change or something that shifts. It could be a hormonal change, which is chemical change, and then all of a sudden it becomes activated. In your research, did you find that this is something that can happen with women as well as with men? It seems to be more with women than it is with men.
It's certainly true, and it's certainly true with the papillomaviruses and also the herpes viruses.
Really?
Sure, herpes virus. What do we call herpes when we're young? We call it chickenpox. What do we call it when we're old? We call it shingles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a virus that hangs out in the nerve endings and waits, as you so really nicely put it, for that weakness, for that tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And says, ha, you know, now you're not looking. Now I'll come out and cause these symptoms. So we do know, you know, that with, you know, basically no treatment of any kind, most people are going to clear the infection. But, of course, I do go on to talk about remedies that could help us clear the infection. I'm sure you're familiar with the herb Hypericum perforatum, often called St. John's wort. I call it St. Joan's wort because it's remarkably effective at preventing burns, and I figured St. Joan knows a lot about burns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the tincture of the fresh flowering plant is a very active viricide. It kills viruses.
Wonderful.
As a matter of fact, it even went through petri dish studies where it killed a huge variety of viruses, animal studies where it killed many viruses, and then when it went into human studies, because they were narrowing down the compounds and making it into a drug, the drug in humans caused a very intense photosensitivity so that it was not really usable as a drug, but it actually kills HIV.
Wow. Now, we don't hear about that. We hear about the fact that they're still out trying to figure out what to do with HIV because it has been so devastating. And in Africa, it's horrific. I mean, the suffering that has gone on there and the children that have it. So this is something that could have, economically, it's not going to be as expensive as a lot of the things that are proposed. This is marvelous.
There are herbs that are antiviral. They don't always work for every single person. They're not drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs are concentrated, purified substances that have single direction of action. And we can pretty much say, if we give you this drug, this is what's going to happen. With an herb, there's a great mix of things. So there's a great mix of biological actions that can occur. And as you said, as hormone chemistry changes, as we eat different things or have different emotions in our body, the actions of herbs can be stronger or less strong. A kind of interesting sideline here to the Hypericum perforatum. It really amps up the liver's ability to get rid of drugs. And so some people with HIV infections who have been taking antiretroviral drugs and have heard about taking Hypericum tincture found that when they took the Hypericum tincture, their liver cleared their antiretroviral drugs faster and they got sicker.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious.
So you do need to know what you're doing. And again, that's why we use this paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that we try the herbs before we try the drugs.
Mhm. Mhm.
And we try.
And I think that that's
we try
so
the meditation
good.
Before we try the homeopathic things.
Mhm.
It's a stepped approach to it. I mean, I certainly personally believe that homeopathy is placebo, but I'm very much for placebo medicine because to me a placebo means a substance that won't have side effects that will cure 50% of the people.
Mhm. Well, they've tested that so many times they haven't been able to figure out why, because of the mind-body connection.
I'm willing to work with that, and the 50% who don't get dealt with that way, we have other things to offer them.
Mhm. Absolutely true.
So you know, when I first started studying, I was studying what was called alternative medicine. And it was really them versus us. And I actually even saw people be refused treatment because they had gone, you know, to the orthodox, you know, treatment and like, oh, I can't work with you. You've already had chemotherapy. Like, you've ruined yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always recoiled at that. I didn't like that kind of war because I thought we were all in it together looking to make people healthier and more whole. And so I coined a term that's been used, which was complementary medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that term is now being replaced by an even better one, which is integrative medicine. And that's what my books are about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against drugs. I'm not against surgery. You're going to find lots of information in down there, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way, as well as in my book on breast health, my book on menopause, my book on childbearing year. All of these books work with this ordered approach to being able to use anything that we need, choosing the safest things first. But there are times when surgery or drugs may be called for, and I want you to know what the difficulties with those drugs and surgeries could be and which ones you might want to seek out.
Mm-hmm. I think that is really where we're evolving into little by little, because there are so many benefits from different modalities. And what works for one person may not work for another. So why throw the baby out with the bathwater? Because you've not been able to look at other opportunities for encouraging wellness. And I really like the integrative medicine approach. I think it's important, and I think medical professionals on all levels need to be able to respect each other and say, all right, let's see what's going to work with this patient. Let's see how we can make this patient well. Because I don't know that it'll ever be possible to totally be without illness. I don't think so. I think that this is just part of life's experience on various levels. But I do think having a more open attitude and a willingness to work with a person on the mind-body connection and otherwise, it's just incredible. You're going to get results that are just phenomenal, and we will be able to do what we need to do for so many people who maybe cannot afford it, certain levels of care, and we won't be screaming about the cost because it won't be that extravagant.
Well, herbal medicine is people's medicine, and I believe that the medical system that we have in the United States is incredible when it comes to trauma care and tertiary care. It's really amazing, you know, how we can, you know, repair a cleft palate and just do amazing things. But when it comes to primary care, we all feel like we don't have any help.
Mm-hmm.
Herbal medicine is people's medicine. It's the medicine of primary care. My granddaughter, who's 4, the other day said, "Oh, my baby doll has a boo-boo on her knee." And I said, "Shall I go outside and get some plantain for her knee?" And she looked at me and she said, "Grandma, it's an imaginary hurt. We can use imaginary plantain."
Oh, what a smart four-year-old. Susan, you have some real good information. One of the biggest challenges for women, and I know of so many women that this has affected. I've been very fortunate it hasn't affected me, but it has to do with the bladder. And I know that hygiene is very important, and a lot of women are not aware of that aspect to the degree that they should be. But it's more than that. You've got interstitial cystitis, and you bring out some information about how this can be related to fibromyalgia. You talk about urinary retention. A lot of women have a challenge with that, especially as they get older, incontinence. You go into so many different aspects of this. This is so thoroughly covered. And one of the things that I see you encouraging, which I can very much support, is exercise, so that women understand that a surgery, in fact, the surgery for bladder, most of the time, it isn't that successful. Women have it, and I can remember when I was a young woman hearing horror stories about women whose bladders had dropped or whatever because of pregnancy or something that had happened to them, and they'd have the surgery, and then it didn't do the job. And my goodness, it doesn't seem like the odds are any better today. Give us a little information about the bladder.
Well, one of the aspects of this book that I really enjoyed doing as the writer was allowing each organ to speak for itself. And the bladder says it all goes round and round, but it comes down to me. And the bladder goes into detail about how the emotions that we hold in and don't express, how they concentrate and come down into the bladder, how the foods that we eat concentrate and come down into the bladder. It's really quite, you know, to me, very enlightening to understand the bladder. The bladder says, you may, you know, think of me just as a sack that just holds the fluid, but I am really subtly influenced by all of these things. And when you're upset, I get upset too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, there's a wide variety of things that we can do. The book begins with pelvic floor, the underlying thing, and I think that's what the exercises that you were talking about, the pelvic floor exercises, because humans have a daunting task. The pelvic floor is not meant to hold everything up against gravity. So we really do have to exercise it. It seems a little odd, but then again, think of it, you wouldn't want to go your whole life, you know, and not exercise other parts of your body as well. And moves from there into bladder and rectum. And then one of the topics that I really didn't want to have to talk about in the book, but I did, which was trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, it's part of what the bladder has to say, but it's part of what all of the down there organs have to say is, I can feel traumatized. I can feel objectified. I can feel misused. I can feel unheard.
Mm-hmm.
And so by allowing each organ to speak for itself, I think that we start the process of really hearing from our own body. Sure, I mean, we could talk about corn silk, a wonderful soothing herb for the bladder. We could talk about uva ursi, a real turnaround herb for many women, a bladder antiseptic. We could talk about yarrow, another powerful diuretic bladder antiseptic, really can clear stubborn infections. We can talk about cranberries, blueberries, as a matter of fact, almost a vaccinium. Berries are just fabulous. You would think that, hey, if there's a bladder infection brewing, all I have to do is, like, drink a lot of water, and they'll just kind of, you know, flush it out because it won't be able to stick. But in fact, the bacteria that cause bladder infections have a little hook on them and they hook into the bladder wall. And these vaccinium fruits, like cranberries and blueberries, actually contain a slippery substance that keeps that hook from lodging in the bladder wall.
Fascinating. Well, there are so many that will say having cranberries or cranberry juice doesn't make any difference. And I think the body utilizes foods and herbs in the way that surprises many people. And I think of stories that my husband told me when he lived in Idaho and how wheatgrass was used by a healer, a woman who had lived in a mountainous forest area and had trained with a healer. And she had really dedicated her life to working with people. And a woman came to her that had breast cancer, and she had been given up to die. This was a woman in her 70s, and the woman said, if you will let me do what I know I can do for you and let me do it my way, don't worry about it. You're going to be, you know, cured of this. And she used wheatgrass as a poultice, putting it on the diseased area of the breast because it had metastasized so badly throughout her breast the doctors wouldn't even touch this woman. And then she gave her the drink, and I don't know what else she might have used, and the woman was completely cured, because it was helping the body. But it was a gentle way of working with the body. And the poultices were changed, of course, on a regular basis. But the body had something to work with. And I think that that's what's important. Many times the body is not endowed with that extra something to take care of what is attacking the system. And let's face it, we're being attacked every day. I mean, every minute, there's always something that's going to be in the body, this living machine we occupy. I think it's absolutely miraculous.
Isn't it, though? Just marvelous, definitely. But also, what we're talking about here is that subtle interplay between what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, and the substances that we're using for healing, and our trust or lack of trust in those substances. And, you know, men, as they age, suffer from far more urinary problems than women do. Women tend to have more urinary infections when they're younger and tend to be bouncing around in bed a lot more frequently. Not that older women don't have a lot of good sex, but it's the frequency does tend to decrease for most women, and thus the wear and tear on the opening to the bladder there. But for men, as the prostate comes out of its kind of quiet time between puberty and midlife and begins to grow, it presses on that tube that carries the urine out of the body. And so I not only cover bladder infections for women, but I also cover those lower urinary tract infections for men. Now, before our time runs completely away from us, I do want to share the good news for boys and the good news for girls.
So let's do that.
Let's start with the good news for boys. The good news for boys is pizza prevents prostate cancer.
Oh, my husband will absolutely love that. That's his favorite food.
There you go. Now, best if it has some anchovies, because that brings those omega-3 fatty acids, which are so protective of the prostate. And even better if you ask for extra garlic on there.
Oh, boy.
Because we know that the garlic and the onions, that family, really, you know, fight off the cancer. And tell your husband it's just as effective cold the next morning.
Oh, he'll just concur with that. He'll just go, woohoo, that's what I want to hear.
There you go. It's the lycopene and those cooked tomatoes that really does the trick. And I always share the good news for boys first, because I hope that it will make them happy enough that they won't be too jealous when I share the good news for girls.
Okay,
and the good news for girls is your clitoris never ages.
Ah, that's the truth.
It's the only anti-senescent tissue in the body. You have the same orgasmic capacity at 95 that you do at 15.
Yes, that's true.
We can't say the same for the boys, but girls, you got it, and you got it all your life. So, excuse me, you'll see that one of my recommendations And there are help boxes in every topic throughout the book because there's so much information that I put little help boxes so you can just go there and pick like the, you know, I give you like 3 to 6 remedies you can use right away. And then you want to read about them, you can read about them. But you'll see that one of my recommendations for women who are saying, oh, you know, my libido, it went south for the winter and it never came home in the spring, or ooh, it's so dry down there. Well, one of my recommendations is not just exercise, but orgasms. 7 orgasms a week, whether you want them or not.
Oh, boy.
Now,
okay,
many women
gal,
look
there
at,
you go.
Right, many women look at me and go, I don't know if I can do that. And I go, I guess you're going to need a vibrator. And some women say to me, well, once you get a vibrator, you won't want, like, people anymore, right? I'm like, you know, I've never met a vibrator who will rub my shoulders for me. Or tell me how beautiful I am, or bring me a cup of tea. Don't worry, you're still going to want people.
Well, more than that, I think what you're saying, it just makes me chuckle, because if ever anybody, and this is something that is wonderful, go see the play Menopause. If it comes into your community, go see it. That is absolutely a hoot. It's just perfectly in alliance with what you're talking about. You have some wonderful, wonderful information for the guys, too, talking about the healthy prostate. And more information is coming out about how many of these tests can it be harmful to men. And also, so often, they do not have correct readings. And I think that your information regarding having a healthy prostate, you know, you've already mentioned the diet, this type of thing. But you talk about a blue light therapy, and I know we can't go into a lot of detail on this, but there's just so much good information that you give in here for women and for men. And that's what I really appreciated about this, because it is a very significant part of life, having healthy sex, but being healthy, period. And when we get out of the woo-woo stuff, that this false information that is out there, when women can understand how to take care of themselves and that they've got options to work with, when men understand that they need to take care of themselves and they have options to work with, what a difference this makes.
It certainly does. You know, in a recent survey, over 80% of physicians felt that their own patients were overtreated. And they cited, you know, that a fear of lawsuits, of course, was right up there, but also like standards that they have to keep to, but pressure by patients, pressure by the patients themselves to over-treat them. And I, one of the things that I really enjoy in the book are called her stories and his stories. And I myself had no idea that when they do a prostate biopsy, we're talking about an organ the size of a walnut, they take 7 to 12 samples from that.
Ouch.
And yeah, a man writes about going to have his PSA tested because he was going out on his boat for a couple of years. And the doctor called him and said, well, you know, your PSA's a little elevated. Ordinarily, I'd say, you know, it's really nothing much. Come back in 6 months for a retest. But because you're going to be gone for 2 years, I think we should do a biopsy. And it sounds so simple. Oh, we're just going to do a biopsy. But they don't actually say, we're going to take a needle, go in through your rectum, and take 7 to 12 samples out of your prostate. And he's impotent now.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, P.S., he didn't have cancer. So this is the kind of thing that caused me to write this book, because it's upsetting to me. And you're quite right, the National Preventative Services Health Task Force, the same task force that told us, it's the government task force that told us over 2 years ago that mammograms were worse than useless, just last year came out and said PSA tests are leading to overtreatment.
Well, I'm very grateful that there are those people like you out there who really are doing due diligence and really want people to be well and are doing the best they can to continue educating themselves and wanting to bring the education out to the public. But we as individuals have to be willing to pick up the books, to read, to listen to radio shows like this, to hear people like you talk about these things, because after all, these chassis that we're living in, we owe them respect and appreciation, and they really do need to be taken care of regardless of the age. And just because you're young doesn't mean that you can get away with not having certain things. In fact, a lot of our youth is being affected, just as you mentioned earlier in the show, in ways because of ignorance that they never imagined. And every generation has to go through their educational process, and it's the same with the older individuals. So I'm so delighted that you were able to be with us today. Now, Susan, you have your own website, SusanWeed.com. Now, Susan is spelled S-U-S-U-N.
But I also own SusanWeed.com, too.
So
keep the sun in Susan. Spell it or misspell it. Come and visit SusanWeed.com.
Absolutely. Well,
you know, I run an abundance-based business. I want to give away as much as I possibly can. It's true, we sell the books, but then again, there's a lot of other people I had to pay, like the artists and so on, and the printer, to get that book out there. But on the website, you will see that virtually everything that is there at the website is free for you, because herbal medicine is people's medicine, and we want you all to be happy and healthy.
I agree. Susan Weed, her book titled Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. Awesome book. And have a highlighter so you can highlight the sections that really are significant to you. Donna Sebo here. Susan, thank you so much for being my guest. Susan Weed, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. 1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, I'll tell you, it's really fun to be able to share so much information on the air. And I love the uniqueness of positionings and attitudes that people have, and I'm so glad you've been able to join me wherever you are. I hope that you are having an absolutely wonderful day here in the Pacific Northwest. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have been inundated with snow. And when I was out walking Victor loves it, my little Scottish Terrier. I have a bright yellow coat that I put on him so he's easily seen when we're out walking. Of course, against the white snow, it's not hard to see him. But he just was having the time of his life. And we encountered so many people just having a blast out in the snow. Young people taking their sleds, going to a place that's not too far from us and sliding down steep hills. And it's just magical. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's all going to be gone for pretty much by tomorrow. But we are just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying with this northern style storm has brought to us. And I think there's a caller on the line. I thought I heard something. Caller?
Hi.
Hi. I wasn't sure, and I said, maybe I didn't hear correctly, but I did. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Teresa, calling from Phoenix.
Okay. Are you going to break my heart and tell me that the sun is shining where you are? She's just laughing. She doesn't want to break my heart. Well, I know a lot of people who would just say, oh, give me some sun, give me some sun. But we're really enjoying the snow here. It's absolutely gorgeous. Let's get down to business with you. First thing that I am looking at is strategy. And I feel as if you are taking some downtime, which is excellent. You need to do it. and you're saying, I really want to get clear on certain things because I don't want repetition of a particular patterning that I had last year. So I want to look at how I can manage more effectively what it is that I need to do, number one, and number two, what I need to manage in my structural aspect of networking with different people. Your personal life also, you have decided you wanted to see some, you want to see some changes in this year, which is wonderful. I don't see any problem with that. And I think that you're going to be able to do this very nicely and very, very well. But don't get too uptight, because it may take until April for you to really get everything moving and flowing the way you want. So this is the time to plan. This is the time to start implementing little tiny steps and moving forward. And that is going to enable you to do a couple of things. Number one, take care of those things you need to take care of physically. Number two, look at your financial program and how you want to manage that. And number three, giving yourself some time to play, because you have a tendency to be a workaholic at times. And I can't blame you, because when you're doing what you love to do, you really like to do it. But you need to remember that. What question do you have for me today?
Wow, I like that. I like that, kind of like a New Year's Eve resolution.
Great. So what's your question for me today?
There's a work situation that I'm dealing with, and tomorrow I'm going in to go to work at that particular location where there's been some issues, and I've discussed things with management, and I've said if, you know, things don't get straightened out, I'm going to walk away from this. I'm not going to continue on. I wondered what kind of energy you saw with that, if you saw that kind of stabilizing.
Well, I think what you've got is a miscommunication. And when I say miscommunication, I mean exactly that. There is ways that people will express themselves, and they maybe do not understand that no means no. And this is going to really sound far out. You're going to say, Donna, you're getting a little ditzy on me. But there are people, it depends on how people think. Now, I'm seeing two specific individuals. Is there two or more that
yeah.
you're having? Okay. I'm seeing two specific individuals. Are you working as an independent contractor?
Yes.
All right. That explains it. What you've got here are two people. Number one, they're competitive with each other. And number two, they feel like you're an interference. They're afraid. Now, that's what
yes.
you need to look at. You need to look at their fear. And you need to be able to not be concerned whether they like you or not. But you have to help them understand, and it's going to take effort and communication and repetition on your part about what's needed. And let's say you tell them, I want 14 purple dresses with a stripe of green down the left sleeve. And so they bring you 14 purple dresses, and one's got pink in it, the other one's got blue in it. And all you have to do is give them back the dresses, say, I told you 14 dresses with a green stripe down the left sleeve. Do you have this now? No criticism. Just say, do you have this now? And they'll be all upset because it didn't do what they were supposed to do. And they said, well, yeah, that's not what you said. Say, okay, I want you to repeat back to me what I said. I make them repeat it three times. Now, this is going to sound like you're dealing with elementary children, school children. But the reality is their thinking processing is not on the same wavelength as yours. And they are very, very scared about their jobs. They're very, very concerned. So they're in a positioning of being defensive, and they're going to want to make you look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
So you have to remember, this is not, gee, I want you to be your best friend stuff. You are there to do a job. And that job is going to need to be accomplished. And part of the challenge is, and that's the reason that you're there, is getting people to do what they're supposed to do. So it's understanding their thinking processes and not compromising, not trying to make them feel good, always being courteous, but saying, I still want those 14 purple dresses with the green stripe down the sleeve. maybe they come back to you again, maybe half of them are the way they're supposed to be. You give them the half that's not, say, okay, I want you to repeat to me what I ask you to do. So it's getting them into a thinking modality where they're on the same page with you. Am I making sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Okay, so you have to be not threatened by this. This is nothing personal. Let them go through all the personal stuff. You look at them and you look at this and say, this is my job. I have been hired to fulfill a certain responsibility. So instead of running away from it, instead of saying, well, I just give up on this, don't do that. Go into the man or woman who has hired you and say, I want you to know I'm going to take a different approach. There's a challenge here. I'm up for the challenge. But I want you to understand what I'm going to do. And you'll probably get feedback from them. But I want you to know exactly what I'm going to do. So inform the person that hired you as to what your procedure is. And then just it's repetition over and over and over again. And all of a sudden you'll get the 14 dresses with a green stripe down the left sleeve. And they're going to be very pleased. You're going to say, congratulations, you understand. Does this make sense to you? And they'll eventually say, yes, it does. So you're dealing with a number of variables here. You're dealing with their subconscious. You're dealing with their fears. You're dealing with the fact that they're very defensive about you. Who are you to come into their space? Who are you?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? So it's, you know, it's just one of those factors that you deal when you're an independent consultant. And you don't worry about their approval or not. You're there to do a job. You're up to this.
Yeah. So you see it settling out then, because this is how I approach them. I approach them, you know, in talking with management, laying things out.
Well, you're not remembering, though. You can talk with management, lay things out. Management is saying, you go do the job. So no whining here, no complaining, nothing. You just say, okay, I'm encountering this kind of opposition. This is what I'm going to do. And I want you to know this, because you're going to get feedback from these people. And they will get feedback, and that's okay, as long as you keep management informed and you document everything you do and make sure you have instructions in writing. And I'd give you maybe a couple of weeks, and I think you could have this thing turned around. But you're going to have to do the work. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Oh, I know. Well, I'll let you know how it works out.
Oh, I think it'll work out okay. Not to say that you won't have moments that you want to go, you know, hit a punching bag with a, you know, a baseball bat a few times. But that's all right. Go out and run a mile. Work out your stress. Don't take it personally. This is not a friendship situation. Don't do that.
Sounds great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling in, and enjoy your sunshine.
Thanks. Sometimes we like our rain, too, so we're a little we're looking at you all a little envious.
Well, let's see. You huff and puff and send a little sunshine up here, and we'll go and huff and puff, send you a little bit of rain. How about that?
That works.
Okay. All right. You take care, my dear, and the best of luck to you. This
Thank
is Donna
you.
Siebel. Thanks, dear. If you want to give me a buzz, call in to 888-627-6008. I'm so delighted you're able to join me on this winter day, which definitely we have in full force here in the Pacific Northwest, 888-627-6008. And just like the lady that called in from Arizona, all I need is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you just sit back and relax and let me tell you what I perceive, and we'll just then wait for your question after I finish. We were talking about berries earlier in the show as being something medicinally that has been, that well, for centuries, they've been very, very valuable. The Native American Indians had used them in so many different forms. There's so much that as we have an opportunity to learn about different things, we go, wow, this is so good for us. How come we haven't brought it into our diet before? Well, a lot of it depends on where you live and how you've been raised and what your particular environment is. And so you have to actively reach out for things. Now, there is a berry called the elderberry, and they are blue or black. And if you see any red elderberries, you don't want to eat them. They're not good for you at all. The birds may like them, but they're not for you to eat. Now, one of the things that I found very interesting about this, and I didn't know this, that whenever you see an elderberry bush, usually it's near water areas, creeks, streams, rivers. Why? Because they put their roots down into the earth, but they really love the water. It has to be close to the water. Now, it deals, you know, it survives summer, dry summer periods very, very well, but it just is such a valuable fruit. So when it is blooming, many times the Native Americans, when they had it in their environment, they would pick as much as possible and then put it on the string of some kind and then allow it to dry. And then it would go into their winter food mixtures. But it was very, very healthy, and they would make drinks out of it, etc. Now, I found out that the elderberry is anti-inflammatory. It's an antioxidant, which all berries are. It's antiviral. And it's good as an expectorant, and it has very, very good nutrition to it as well. So before, you know, if you feel like maybe you're coming down with a cold, or you just, there's always a feeling that the body gets, and all of us have our own individual awareness. And when you feel like, uh-oh, something may be coming on, elderberry cordial is, and I'd never heard of this, a woman by the name of Cammie McBride talked about an elderberry cordial. She said she swears by it. If you think you're coming down with a flu, that's a great thing to do. And she said so many times she felt colds had started and she'd use the elderberry cordial and it would just nix it right then and there. And she said you can make elderberry honey. It's great for the immune system, and what it does, because of its antiviral properties, she said it inhibits flu viruses from penetrating your cell membranes, and it's very good for prevention of respiratory viral infection. And I feel like this is such significant information. I know of a member in my family that has had pneumonia more than once. And I've just been this past week thinking, what could this person have that is going to assist them? Elderberry. And you can get elderberry tea. There's, like I said, the honey. It's really, really good information. You know, I didn't take my word for it. Check it out. Check it out on the Internet. I think you're going to find a lot of good information. Oh, and since we are in this season where it seems like if you have kids, you got exposure to colds, and boy, I know anybody that hasn't been around kids for a long time, when they go and they're in their environment, let's say a nursery school or whatever, it seems invariably that the adult will become ill. Well, there was a Korean lady that shared a very special recipe with me, and I'm telling you, it works. So let me give it to you. It's real simple. You take a cup of milk. It's either whole milk or 2%. You don't want to use skim with this. You want to have a cup of milk. You want to take an onion, and if you have a pretty big onion, I'd say just use a quarter of it. And you want to grate it or chop it extremely fine and put it in the milk. You want to put in a big chunk of fresh ginger, a big chunk. It can be like maybe, a half inch square, inch square, big chunk, not a little tiny piece. Don't use the powder. You need the fresh. And I shred that. I grate it on a very fine grater, and that goes in, and then you add 2 tablespoons of sugar, and you put that in a pot, and you put it on the stove, and you let it just sort of cook at a very, very low heat, minimum heat, for a half hour, 45 minutes, and maybe stir it occasionally. And then what I did this last night, I just added some freshly grated nutmeg, not the dried powder, freshly grated, and it adds a good flavor. But I will tell you, that that is one of the healthiest drinks. This Korean woman said to me that she had had real bad sinus problems, etc., and she did that every night for a week, and it cleared up. It can help you. So I'll just pass it along. I'm finding it's working for me. It is absolutely great, and hey, you never know what information you're going to come across. But just like our guest said, onions, garlic, great way of keeping the body healthy. And this is a hot drink during winter that's absolutely marvelous. We're going to take a break for just a minute, and we're going to come back, 888-627-6008. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny, if you want to know what's going on, check out my website. I've got all kinds of appearances coming up in this first quarter of the year. January 21st, which is this Saturday, I have a live radio broadcast with Deborah Scott. This is a motivation marathon. It is going to be going on for, it's been going on for days. But if you want to tune into it, you can go to motivationalmarathon.com, register there free. You can hear the show between 5 and 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to have a dynamic experience with it. It's absolutely wonderful. And then on January 21st in the evening, we are welcoming in the new year of 2012. I'm going to be speaking at the Ascension and Delight Foundation Center. They're having an inspirational event where I and three other women are going to be sharing positive perspectives for this new year. I will be talking about mind dynamics and giving demonstrations of mind skills. Admission is $20 per person. The time is 7 to 9 p.m. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. The location is 1222 South Weller Street in Seattle, 98144. And if you want more information, call 206-356-6356. On the 28th of January, I'm so excited about this, the Quantum Mind 2 class. We are putting that on, Robert Newman and myself. This is an opportunity for you to explore and discover your own unique mind talents and be aware of how you can empower prosperity and positive directioning in your professional and personal life. Now, this is going to be held at the same place the last class was at, Bridgeport Place. University Place is the city, and it is 5250 Bridgeport Way West. It's from 10 until 4. Lunch is going to be served. The fee is $59.95. Give me a call if you want to reserve your spot, 253-582-5604. My office number again, 253-582-5604. We have a few spots open still. And then in February, the 10th, the 11th, and 12th, the Conscious Life Expo is happening in Los Angeles, California. I will be appearing there in booth number 704. This marvelous event takes place at the Airport Hilton near LAX. And if you're in L.A., you don't want to miss this. Speakers from around the country will be giving free presentations on all kinds of topics, and I'll be speaking on Friday the 10th at 4 p.m. Also, don't forget, I'll be in booth number 704 giving many consultations and reviewing book materials from prospective authors. Now, for more information, go to ConsciousLifeExpo.com. And if you are in the Los Angeles area, you would like to assist me at my booth, give me a call, because I do need some assistance helping me out while I'm there. And that number again for my office is 253-582-5604. Well, I know we're just about out of time, so I want to just say this is a wonderful hour. I'm so glad you were able to share it with me. And remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have a right of choice, and the choice is to live in the moment to the best of your capacity. And if things aren't necessarily going the way you want, maybe brainstorm with someone to see what your options might be and what you can do that maybe would make a difference so that you feel like you're more empowered than disempowered. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you for being with me today. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.